If you have God's Word with you, I'd like you to open it, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, please. We want to read just some verses from the middle of this chapter, beginning at the words of verse 12. It brings us to the city of Sodom, and concerning one household in particular, that of Lot. Genesis chapter 19, the words of verse 12. And you'll find there that there's those that are speaking. They're called the men. They are angelic beings in the form of men. God sent these men to give the warning. And that's where we take up our reading. Verse 12. The men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Amen. We're going to end a reading just there at the end of verse 17. And we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon reading of his word. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. You pray, as we've often said on other nights, you pray that the Lord might speak to your soul and your heart even this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for the reading of thy precious, infallible word. And Lord, we are reminded that in the New Testament we are to give attention to the reading. And Father, we pray that thou would write these words even on men and women's hearts today. Lord, we ask that thou would translate us, as it were, to this very scene that we have read in this passage. And we pray, Lord, that thou might meet with us in this barn. O God, we pray that thou will enable us to preach the gospel in all its fullness. Help us, O God, to point men and women to the only sin bearer, to the only redeemer, to the only one that they need. And we ask, Lord, this day, we might know thy power. We might know thee by thy spirit striving with hearts. And Lord, this afternoon there be those that will close in with Christ, that they might make good their escape. They might flee from the wrath of God. They might run even to Christ. I pray for that fresh and filling of thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for that fresh anointing from above. That, Lord, I would preach, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but, O God, help us to preach in the power, the demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost. I take, thy God, thou dost undertake for me. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. On this Remembrance Sunday, we rightly remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the world wars and in the conflicts of our own land, so that we could have freedom and we could have liberty to meet in a fashion just like we are doing this afternoon. We salute their bravery and their fortitude. But you know, God has commanded through his word that we should remember certain things. He knows what man is like. He knows that due to sin, we're capable of forgetting those things that we ought not to. And so, right throughout the Word of God, there are many times where you'll come across the word remember. The nation of Israel, as they were to cross over into the promised land, we were looking at it in God's house this morning, they were to remember their God. They were to remember what He had done for them. How could they forget that night of the Passover and their deliverance by the slain lamb and by its blood being shed? They were to keep the feast of the Passover every year. Young person in our meeting today, you also are called to remember. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Now is the time in which you ought to consider the Lord and all that He has done for you. Now is the time that you ought to consider the things of God, the things that are spiritual, the things that are eternal in the days of your youth. God has given us one of His commandments, a remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But today, this afternoon, I bring you to another remember. You'll not find it in my passage that we've read together, but it does bring us back here. You'll find it in Luke chapter 17. For God says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. That's probably the shortest text through this mission that I've preached on. Just 3 words. Now, when you read those words, you'll understand that it's not a remembering merely in the physical sense. Simply because of this, that we are given very little detail about her. We know who her husband was. We know his name. But we're not even given the name of Lot's wife. We are not for sure where she came from, although I believe we have clues to suggest that she may have come from Sodom. Did you ever consider where Lot got his wife? You see, when we read of Abraham being called of God out of the air of the Chaldees and coming across to the promised land, we read that Abraham brought his wife Sarah and there was Lot, his nephew, with him, but there's no mention of his wife. We also know that when Abraham went down wrongly, it was a prayerless decision, down into the land of Egypt, and when God in His mercy was to bring him up again, we read that Abraham and Sarah and Lot came up with him, but there's no mention of his wife. You'll see that in chapter 13, verse 1 of Genesis. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. No mention of his wife. The first indicator that we have of women is when the armies were to come and plunge the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They took everything captive, including Lot. And Abraham was to be told of this, and he gathered together his trained men, and he went, and he was to recover all. Genesis 14, verse 16, you look at the words, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. There's the first mention of women in connection with Lot. And so, we may conclude that Lot might have come from Sodom. But certainly this much we do know, that when God says, remember Lot's wife, it's not the physical person that God wants us to remember. It is the spiritual lessons that are seen in this woman and in her life. And it's there because God the Holy Ghost has put it there. Luke 17, verse 32. You'll be able to remember it. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Let me show you first of all her message. You, when considering the wife of Lot, you must recall the message to which he was to hear. The relevant passage we have read in Genesis chapter 19. And I trust you can picture that scene in your mind's eye. And you realize that Lot and his wife were dragged out from that iniquitous city by the angels of the Lord. You will recall that standing outside the walls and standing outside the gates of that place, they were to hear a message. I suggest to you it was a message from the Lord Himself. You look at the words of verse 17 of Genesis 19. We'll come back to Luke 17 just in a moment or two. It says, "And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad," that is the angels, "that he said." He said. So there's one who speaks to them. And you notice the reply that Lot gives. His answer was to use the words of the term Lord, verse 18. And I contend that this was the Lord Himself. We are agreed, of course, that it was the Lord who appeared to Abraham in the previous chapter. You remember how He fed the strangers unawares? They were the angels of the Lord. One of them was the incarnate appearance of Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Savior. And it was the Lord who was to meet with Abraham, and He was to show him what was going to take place in those cities. It was the Lord whom Abraham detained, and He stood before him to plead for the righteous within Sodom. It was the Lord who was making His way to Sodom, and therefore we have every reason to suggest that the Lord arrived to give Lot and his wife and his two daughters a clear heaven-sent message. Lot's wife is standing beside her husband that morning. She was to hear a message. What sort of message was it? It was a message of instruction and direction. Verse 17 came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." It was a message that went straight to the heart. It went straight to the point they needed to make their escape. They already knew the night previous what the intention of God was for that place. There was judgment coming. Judgment coming upon the cities of that plain. And Lot, of course, believed that, for he went to instruct his sons-in-law about it. The angels had told them of the coming judgment. And standing outside the city, the Lord comes. And He makes sure that they understood the message. That which they must do was to escape from the judgment of God. The judgment that was coming. But not only escape, but they were also told not to look behind them as they were making their escape. There was to be no holding back upon the house which they left. There was to be no looking upon or going back for the possessions that they might have had in that place. There was to be no turning back. What's more, there was to be not going only part of the way. There was no safety for them in any part of that plain. They had to get to the mountain. You see that? Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. If their escape was to be made good, then they needed to get to the mountain. And I'm telling you, men and women, this afternoon, young people, Lot's wife heard that message. She would have knew what was coming the night before, but she heard that message that very morning, standing outside the gates of that doomed city of Sodom. It was also a message which spoke of the urgency that was required. There was to be no holding back. There was to be no time to waste, for the judgment was on its way as they spoke. They could not linger. They needed to act quickly. And should they have been in any doubt, they were also instructed of the consequences should they not make their escape. They knew what would happen if they didn't get to the mountain, if there was no urgency, because the Lord said to them at the end of verse 17, "Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." They're under no disillusionment. Lot's wife heard that message. She was a privileged person. For many in the city were not to hear that message. They were damned. As good as. She also was privileged because she had a God-fearing husband. If we hadn't got the New Testament, we would believe that Lot wasn't saved, stuck in this city. But we have the New Testament. And Lot is described in 2 Peter 2 as a just man. He's a believer. He's been justified by God. And the just shall live by faith. You can be justified by God this afternoon if you look away to Christ and be saved. He can declare you just as if you had never sinned. And Lot was a just man. He was a believer, even though he should never have been living in Sodom. His righteous soul, we are told, was vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Every day he was vexed with their filthy conversation. And I'm sure he was no different to any husband today. You'll tell your wife the things that grieve you. You'll tell your wife the things that annoyed you maybe that day. And I'm sure that he would have told his wife such things. She would have understood his grievance. Lot's wife heard. That is why the Lord says to you and me in the New Testament account, remember Lot's wife. She heard the message. For just like her, many of you have heard the message to your own heart. It has been a heaven-sent message. The gospel is the message of God's only begotten Son. His birth, His perfect life, His atoning death, His bodily resurrection to glory again, His ascension, and His coming back one day for His people. The gospel is that which speaks of the coming judgment upon sin. The gospel reveals to you your need as a sinner. The gospel is that message which instructs you clearly as to where you ought to make your escape to. It is to the mountain. You're in this meeting on sea. Listen, you've got to get to Mount Calvary. You've got to get to that mount, my friend. You have to flee there. For there by faith you will see one who became sin. One who is the only sin bearer. The one who paid the punishment and the judgment for your sin so that you might go free. The message that you hear is one of urgency. There's no time to delay. Death is coming. Judgment to follow. The wrath of God already hangs over the unconverted man or woman. You already are condemned by God. And there's need for you to be urgent about the matter of your soul's salvation. That's the most important thing in this world. That's more important than those loved ones beside you. It's more important as God's lived, as God lives. For if you linger, if you further delay, then be warned of the consequences. You will perish. You will too be consumed and be lost forever in that place where God is reserved for the judgment of sin for all eternity. Listen, remember Lot's wife. For like you, she heard the message. She was not in ignorance of what she had to do, and neither are you, my friend. You know you need to be saved. I contend you know the way to be saved, and you know the consequences of not being saved. And if you don't know the way to be saved, I'm here. I'll gladly speak to you. And I mean that. I'll open a book and I'll spend time and I'll point it clearly at how you can be saved if you don't know. But as I said some other night, this is not the first time you've heard the message of the gospel. You are a privileged person just like Lot's wife was. And the Lord says, remember Lot's wife, her message. Remember Lot's wife because of her mentality. I believe the scriptures instruct us that Lot's wife had a good mentality. For having heard of the coming judgment with her husband, she left her home. And she was found outside the gates of the city. There are other members of that family that didn't get there. The sons-in-law were warned, but Lot seemed unto them as one that mocked them. We don't read that they came out. But here's a woman. And she had a good understanding of what was going to happen. We have no reason to suggest other than that she was a good wife. And she was a good mother to those children in the family. We know also of this family that there was at least 6 children in it. There was 2 married girls. Because Lot, as I said, went to his sons-in-law to warn them. Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. At least 6, maybe 8. I believe that throws light, of course, on how and why Abraham prayed
that God might stay the judgment if there was 10 righteous found in the city. He was thinking of Lot's home.
And Lot's wife had enough common sense and she had enough understanding to get clear of this place and to start the process of making good her escape. And I see her along with her husband, that righteous man, and their two daughters, and they're starting to flee from the wrath that is to come. And they, as quickly as is humanly possible, are seen to be taking the message to heart, and they're running away from the city. And the sin which was to know the judgment of God upon it, and they're running along the plain, and the mountain to which they needed to escape to, it's before them, they can see it. The place of their safety is there before their very eyes. That is where the Lord had directed them to, and Lot's wife has the mentality to know that she needs to flee. She's in the process of fleeing to that mountain. And what's more, we can say that her mentality was to take her very near to being safe. We have no reason to doubt that Lot's wife had come along a long way along that road to safety. She had left behind her city. She had felt the touch of the angels. She had felt the grip of the angels' hands bringing her out of that place. Remember Lot's wife, because she had come a long way. She was so near to being at that mountain. Do you want to see how near she was? You look at the words of chapter 19 again of Genesis verse 23. And it says, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. It was only when Lot got into that city Zoar that the judgment fell, by the way. Then. The sun was risen when Lot entered in through the gate of Zoar. Here, by implication, we can say Lot's wife was within striking distance of entering in. She can maybe have seen the very gates. But sadly, as she ran along, as she was in the process of making good her escape, she started to think of what she left behind. She began to consider what she was doing, and soon her pace was to slacken. I see her hand in hand with her husband leaving that city. The angels grabbed them both and the two daughters and they brought them outside the city. They started them on the way, if you like. Her message was heard. And I see her taking her husband's hand, Lot's hand, and they start to make. But you know, when they get near to safety, she's not holding hands with them now. I don't know why you've ever seen this before. If you look at verse 26, it says, but his wife looked back from behind him. She had already slackened the pace. She had already started to hesitate. And she was behind Lot and she was behind her two daughters. She was almost there. But almost was not going to be enough. There was no safety in the plain. There was no safety being almost or being so near. She was starting to hesitate. There was hesitation in her heart. Here was a woman who had made all the right steps. She had understood what she was to do and had started on that road. Here was one who was so near the mountain, yet she was never to know that safety, for so near is so far. Is it any wonder the Lord encourages us to remember Lot's wife? We're like her. There are those, I believe, who have a good understanding of what they must do in the gospel. I might be preaching to a young person. You've been nurtured in the gospel. You've been brought up from your mother's knee. You've had a mother or father that prays for you. And maybe there's rebellion in your heart today. Just old rotten rebellion. You have a good understanding of what you must do. You know, if you're ever to be saved, then you must get to the cross. You must get to that man of Calvary. But alas, although many have shown those encouraging first steps, have been found in a gospel preaching church, have even been found like Lot's wife was in among the company of God's own people, have been pressed upon of having the Spirit of God deal with you and touch you in convicting power. Yet you, my friend, must also understand that being so near to getting right with God is not enough. It's not enough. So near is to be so far. Being near the kingdom is not to be inside the kingdom. You think of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was a man who had a good mentality. He sought what he must do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. He asked a good question. He went to the right person. It says he came to Jesus. There was urgency in his heart. He came running. He came running to the feet of Christ. But he wasn't prepared to leave all his sin behind and to follow the Lord. He was so near. He was beside the very one who has the words of eternal life. But he turned and went away. I wonder, what way is it with you this afternoon? Has God been speaking to your heart? You know you need to be saved. You want to join your loved ones in the glory of heaven. Have you just that one step to take? That one step of faith. That step of casting your all upon the Lord. That step of repenting of your sin, being sorry for it. Recognizing what it did. What do you mean, preacher, what it did? It put Christ on the cross. That's what your sin did to mine. Recognize it was my sin that He bore there on His own body on the tree. Is it just one step you need to take? Of repenting of your sin and laying hold by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. Have you only one step to take? And my friend, remember Lot's wife. For she likewise was so near, but she was to perish. She hesitated. She lingered. She was lost. Oh, that would not be the case with anyone in our meeting today. For the Lord invites you to come unto Him and be saved. The Lord says in Hebrews chapter 4 in the words of verse 7, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't leave it to tomorrow. But today, you see, now is the only time which you're sure of. You're not even sure that you'll get out of this meeting. You're not even sure you'll see the end of this message. Now is an accepted time. Her mentality. And there's one final thought. Remember Lot's wife? Why? Her memorial. Lot's wife could have been confined to the pages of the Old Testament in Genesis 19 and been forgotten. But the Lord has raised a memorial. And He compels us to remember this woman. And the memorial's up the town today. And people are gathering round and have done so to remember those that have fallen. Remember those who have fallen. A memorial in Lower Square. Remember those that have fallen that wore the uniform and the crown of this land. Well, here God raises a memorial, and the name is on it. Remember Lot's wife. And He raises a memorial. Not because of one who ran a good race, or not because of one who was saved, But it's a memorial so that you, sinner, would learn from her mistakes. Lot's wife is given as an example of that which not to follow. For that which is most remembered about Lot's wife is the end that she was to meet. And thus the Lord, in His speaking about that time prior to His coming, He uses her example to illustrate what it will be for anyone who will think of doing the same thing. And you might ask me, what's the connection? Why does the Lord use Lot's wife as an illustration? What's the Savior seeking to bring out from the wife of Lot? Luke 17. You get there. Lot's wife was to look back. And the sense of the word is she looked back with that longing. That longing look. She was near the gates of Zoar, but she looked back. Her heart was upon the stuff in the house. Her heart was upon that which she was leaving behind. Her heart was upon her lifestyle back in Sodom. She might have been near the Mount of Safety, but her heart was still in Sodom. And therein lies the reason that before she had time to focus on the very house, she had perished. There she stands, never to move again. For the wave of fire salt was to catch her, and she's become a pillar of salt. That pillar is not there today, or else the Lord would say, see Lot's wife. But instead He says, remember Lot's wife. And dear people, the Lord warns in the days of His return, the hearts of people will be upon the stuff, and not upon the Savior. You see verse 31 of Luke 17. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. There's the connection. In the light of the Lord's coming, what good will the stuff be? What good will the possessions be to any soul? God has said, heaven and earth will one day pass away. It will all be burnt up to a crisp. You can't take it with you, sir. You can't take it with you, madam. You come into this world with nothing, and it is certain that you'll go out with nothing. Except God's salvation if you're saved. In an instant of time, without time for repentance, she was dead. She was lost. She had perished. Death came very suddenly, my friend, as it can do to any one of us. And the Lord would have you to remember Lot's wife, for she hadn't time to get right with God then. It was too late. Remember her, because her end was one which was caught in the very act of sin. She had disobeyed the command of the Lord, and she turned her head. Just to look did it. She dared to look. And she perished. What's more, she was disbelieved. She was unbelieving. You see, it's evident, and I've brought it out already from Genesis chapter 19. It was evident that the sun was still shining in the sky when they left that city that morning. Or at least when they got to the gates of Zoar, or near the gates of Zoar, we read there that the sun had arisen. And as she left Sodom, and as she looked, and as she considered it, she may have thought that there was no judgment coming to fall upon Sodom at all. And the seeds of unbelief began to grow in her heart until she yielded, and she turned, and she looked. Let me just remind you that unbelief will mean that you perish for all eternity. You might not be the greatest rascal walking the streets in Ulster today. You mightn't have innocent blood in your hand today, but I tell you something, if you die without Christ, you'll be sharing eternity with Him. You know how I know? Revelation chapter 21 in the verse 8 says this, but the fearful and unbelieving, that's where you are maybe. the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But my dear unsaved loved one, what a difference! What a difference if you'll cast a look of faith. She cast a look back to the world, back to Sodom, back to the stuff in the house, and she perished. But what a difference if you'll cast a look of faith. There is life for a look at the crucified one, praise God. There's life at this moment for thee, sinner. Look unto him. Look unto him. The one who was nailed on yonder tree. Lot's wife was caught in the very act of sin. Remember the awful doom that she was to have. She became a pillar of salt. She was to die the same death as those in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire and brimstone was to fall upon them, and such was the extent of that judgment that all that remains of them today is an everlasting memorial of a salt sea. The Dead Sea. God wiped them off the face of this earth. Lot's wife, although she heard the message, and although she even was making her way to safety and had gone a long way to it, and even though she was among the company of God's people as you are today, she was to perish in the same way as those vilest and filthiest and abominable sinners in Sodom were. On the very verge of mercy, she was to be cut down by divine justice. My friend, therein is the reason why you need to remember Lot's wife. An eternal memorial to judgment for sin. But it doesn't have to be your memorial. It doesn't have to be your epitaph. That you left this world without a testimony of God's saving grace, and you left no testimony of saving grace behind you, and we have to presume that you're gone to a Christless eternity. That doesn't have to be your epitaph, if you will but flee to Christ. Will you not today cling to the cross? Will you not get by faith to the foot of Mount Calvary, repent of your sin, have your faith in the Savior, and you'll know that God's wrath and God's judgment upon sin cannot touch you there. For you are in Christ. Christ is hidden in God. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand once the Lord saves you. Make sure you are in Christ this evening. Lot's wife had opportunity to be saved. But she perished. And you have been given opportunity to get saved. What's going to be your response today? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. Just in the closing seconds of our meeting, God, I believe, has been speaking. God, the Holy Spirit has been striving. Dear soul, you know how it is between you and the Lord. It's not what I think you are. It's what God knows you to be. And there's only two categories in this meeting. Those that are washed in the blood, saved. Those that are still in their sin. Under this day, as God's word has come before you, as opportunity in the gospel has been given to you again, you're a privileged person just like Lot's wife was. I wonder, will you make your way by faith to Calvary? Will you say today, preacher, it's Christ for me. I'm pulling down the old puny arms of rebellion. I'm seeking the Lord while you may be found. You know He's the only answer. He's the only answer for your sin. He's the only answer for eternity. Will you come? and here afterwards, I'll gladly speak to you. I'll gladly open the book, scriptures to you. But you don't need a preacher, you know. You don't need a preacher. You can meet with God just where you are. You can cry out to God for mercy on a sinner like you. I plead with you. I urge you. Come before it's too late. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence, for Thy speaking voice. We thank Thee for the urgency that we've even gleaned from this text. Lord, Alice said, remember Lot's wife. We pray, Lord, those men and women that can put their feet maybe in her feet, her shoes. Lord, there might not be a turning back to the old stuff, but there might be a fleeing to Christ today. There might be a fleeing to the cross, where they'll find the one who paid it all. O God, give deciding grace. Have mercy on souls, we ask of Thee. Young person, or older man or woman, thank God you've said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You've said, Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, we pray Thou wouldst do Thy work. We pray that the preacher's voice is sent. Thou might speak on. Thy Spirit would strive on. O God, that Thou would be pleased to bring souls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear and answer our prayer, part us with Thy fear and in Thy favour. For we ask these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.